Book of Acts. We are studying this incredible book this summer, and today we're briefly talking about chapter 10 and 11, and really I'm kind of going back and doing a summary over the whole thing so far, because there's this principle I believe really fits in with dads in the book of Acts, which was very similar to the Mother's Day message we had a couple months ago, or a month and a half ago, with my beautiful wife. But the book of Acts is just an incredible book. I encourage you to read it, study it, get into it if you haven't yet. So we're about halfway through it now in chapter 12, 13. That's about halfway through. But it's just a great book, and I want to encourage you to read it. Get your own messages out of it. Get your own stories out of it. Get your own lessons out of the book of Acts. What a great word from God. So I want to talk to you today about the important, somebody say important, impactful, impossible role of dad. Okay, you can stop repeating me. Those of you at home, stop. Dads are important. You're important, Dad. Your influence is unique beyond the jokes. It is different than coaches. It's different than teachers. It's different than a pastor. It's different than moms. The role of a dad is important. It was created by God. God created the role of dad. Dads are not just some biological accident that we have dads because of the physiological thing that happens to conceive a child. And it kind of breaks my heart to hear the term biological father, because that means that there was some sort of separation in there, and there's a distinction between a biological and whatever other kind of father there is. And I know that there's often associated with that term, another man that filled the role, and I'm thankful for that, but man, it just grieves my heart that we have to make those distinctions, because that's not the way God intended it. He intended it for us to be with a woman, to conceive children, and to then father those children, to be a dad, and to love our kids. It's an important role created by God. I think it's important to make sure we understand that it's a role that was created by God. But number two, dads are impactful. They make a difference. They make an impact. So much rides on this position of father. We shape the future. So when the present is dark, when there is difficulty in the present, we can often trace that back to an absent father. Father that was not there to fulfill the role that he was been called to fulfill. When things are going well, we often don't trace it back to the father. But when you look at kids that had to live their life without a dad, they face an uphill battle that's very, very, very difficult. And I read these stats to you every year, but I think it's important every year to remember that there's a 4 times greater risk of living in poverty when you don't grow up with a dad. You are 7 times more likely to become pregnant as a teenager or be involved in a pregnancy with a teenager when you don't have a dad in your life. The likeliness of infant mortality goes up 100% when there's not a father around. Obesity goes up 100% when the father is not in the home. Dropping out of school goes up 100%. The chances of dropping out of school goes up. It doubles whenever the father is not in the house. But while being a dad is important, and while being a dad is impactful, there's also this very, very important truth that being a dad is almost impossible to accomplish. Brutally hard to be a dad. I mean, we love our kids. Those of us that are watching today, those of you that are here with us at Promised Land, we love our kids. We have aspirations for them. We see the potential We have dreams. Man, they're going to just achieve so much in life, and they're going to take the baton from us, and they're going to run the race. And then dads face the reality of mortgages and car loans and kids that like their moms more than them. I face that. The number one phrase in my house is, "Where's mom? Where's mom?" I think Erica talked about that on Mother's Day. That's no joke. Where's mom? Every day. Where's mom? Why don't you want to know where I am? I'm right here. Can we talk? Where's mom? I can help you. No. I want to know where mom is. Oh, man, that's so tough. We see our kids make mistakes. We see our kids get hurt. We see our kids fail tests. We see our kids make decisions that we know are not the right decisions. We see our kids get sick. It's just this grind of life, the path that we had just figured out that they would walk. They're not going down that path, and that all happens in the first year of life. We're trying to figure out how this is going to work, and it's not working. Our strategy for parenting is not working. We're failing. And then discouragement sets in. Are my kids going to be failures? Are they going to lose, all their opportunities? Why should I even try as a dad? And so many dads disengage. Many dads go through a midlife crisis. They'll get a hobby. They'll divert their attention somewhere else. And many dads leave. If you've ever had any of these negative feelings, I don't want you to feel like you're a bad dad. You're just a dad. You're just a human that's trying to influence another human. And that's brutally hard to do. It's difficultly hard to do. It's almost impossible. I want to make sure you understand this, dads out there. You're not alone. If you're facing something, you're going through something, and that's difficult as a father. Maybe it's not associated with the kids, but it's associated with the role that you have as a dad, to be a good husband, or to be a provider, to be a protector of the home, or whatever it is that you're supposed to be doing, and you're feeling like you're not accomplishing it. I want to give you a secret that is really not a secret, and it's unfortunate that so many people try to face impossible situations this way. But dad is just one of those places where we try to face them. There's actually something in the book of Acts that teaches us how to be the dad that God intended for us to be. Now, everybody else out there listening to me right now, that's not a dad, hang on, because this really applies to anything that's impossible that you're trying to walk through, like something called the year 2020, right? This will be helpful to everybody trying to live in this year alone, but especially for those of you dads, I want to talk to you that God created the role of dad with one thing in mind. That he would help you accomplish that role. And the problem that we as dads try to do is we try to be dad without God in our life. We are detached from our Heavenly Father. And if we're trying to accomplish this daunting task of influencing the next generation and making a difference in the world of our kids, and we are disconnected from our Heavenly Father, we're trying to do it in a way that he never intended for us to do it. He created us with the drive to do it and the passion to do it, but we don't have the ability to do it without him. Come on, somebody give me an amen right there. That's a good amen right there. God intended for us to do our role as dad with his Spirit leading the way. Let me say it like this. God intended for dads to be led by his Spirit. God intended for dads to be led by his Spirit. Dads, let me just say this. If you are trying to accomplish the goal of being a great father and achieving what God has called you to do, I want to encourage you to tap into the Holy Spirit of God to empower you to do the tasks, to do the mission, to fulfill the mission that God has called you to fulfill. Quit trying to do it by yourself. Quit trying to think you're going to do it by being their friend. That ain't going to happen. Quit trying to do it by being the authoritarian. If I just discipline them more, then I'll beat them into submission and they're going to be a great kid. No, you're just going to beat them. There's so many facets to it. If we take these roles, these pieces of the role that we are supposed to accomplish by loving our kids, being affectionate to them, speaking life over them, blessing them, praying for them, going to their sporting events, supporting them, helping them study their schoolwork, helping them with their relationships with boys and girls and all that kind of stuff. Doing all those things, disciplining them, we do need to do that. We do need to take the phone away. Come on, somebody. We do need to have all their passwords and know everything they're doing. Amen. Come on, somebody need to give me amen right there online. I hear you. Yeah. You got to do that. But if you think that one of those is the silver bullet that's going to make it all work, it's not. The only thing that makes it work is being filled with the Spirit of God. Being filled with the Spirit of God gives you the power to accomplish what God has called you to do, which is be a godly father. And we've been reading the book of Acts this summer from the, you know, from May on, and from the very beginning of the book of Acts, we see that this leading of the Spirit is a common occurrence that happens throughout the entire book of Acts. And if we read this entire book of Acts this summer and we miss this, we've missed it. We've missed the whole thing. Because you don't have the book of Acts without the leading of the Holy Spirit. And it begins in the first chapter when they have to replace Judas Iscariot, the disciple who betrayed Jesus. They need to replace him. And how do they do that? The Spirit leads them to the person that is to replace Judas. It's a very practical decision that they have to make. Who's going to be the next guy? Spirit, lead us. Spirit, lead us. In the second chapter, the Spirit led them to speak in a language that they had never learned before. Maybe even bigger, at the end of chapter 2, the Spirit led them to live submitted to one another. That's hard to do. But when you're led by the Spirit, you can do the impossible, which is submit to another human being. Have all things in common. If anybody has a need, it was met. Breaking bread together, studying the Bible together, doing all these things together. That was probably more impossible than speaking in an unknown tongue. Oh man, I wish somebody was awake here this morning. Come on. That is. In chapter 3, the Spirit led them to speak boldly to the enemy, the religious leader. They spoke boldly because the Spirit led them to in chapter 3. In chapter 4, the Spirit refilled them when they were exhausted. How do they keep going after some of them have been put in jail? How do we continue this task that God has called us to accomplish? Well, it says in chapter 4 that they begin to pray and they begin to be filled with the Holy Spirit. and that they were refilled in a prayer meeting, so much so that the room began to shake all around them. And confidence began to brew inside of them, and they were able to face the impossibilities outside of that prayer room because of the Spirit of God that began to fill them and flow through them. I just want to encourage you today, if you're facing something that you don't know how to face, being filled with the Spirit of God, being led by the Holy Spirit of God, is how it happens. There's no other secrets, no other things, just being led by, being filled by the Spirit of God. In chapter 5, the Spirit revealed to Peter a dark spirit that Ananias and Sapphira had that would have destroyed the church if they didn't know about it. If that dark, ugly spirit would have grown in the church that Ananias and Sapphira had, and the Spirit hadn't given Peter the vision that it was happening, that he could root it out and deal with it, then we may not even be here today because the church may have failed because of that evil spirit. But thankfully, the leader of the church was being led by the Spirit, and that darkness was revealed. Maybe you're fighting something right now, and there's a darkness in your life, and you need the Spirit of God to say, that's not right. That's ugly, and that needs to get out of here. In chapter 6, the Spirit directed the leaders with strategy. The Spirit does all kind of stuff. I mean, it's amazing. The Holy Spirit of God lets them speak in other languages. It makes them submit to one another. It makes them speak boldly to people that they're afraid of. It makes them refilled and rejuvenated and excited about the future. It gives them, in chapter 6, strategy. How are we going to feed the poor? How are we going to do this? We're not doing it well. And they just need some strategic planning. And what does the Spirit do? The Spirit leads them to begin dividing up into different leadership segments. This segment over here is going to help the widows. This section over here is going to help these people. This section over here, these people over here are going to teach the word and pray. They're going to have a job over here. And the Holy Spirit just gives them good old business sense to deal with this strategy that they were wrestling with. In chapter 7, the Spirit leads Stephen to have a bold vision and speak boldly to the religious leaders, and facing death in the eye, not back down. And Stephen didn't face death in the eye and the Spirit end the death, and Stephen lives to an old age. That's not what happened. Stephen died, and he was facing his execution. That happened. And in the midst of that, going to his death, the Spirit gave him the ability to speak truth clearly and distinctly and preach the gospel with his dying breaths. How could that happen? That's so impossible. The only way that that happens is the Holy Spirit leading Stephen along the way. In chapter 8, the Spirit led the persecuted people to new homes all across the land. And they continued to build the church in these foreign lands, led by the Spirit of God. The Spirit led these believers, these ordinary people like the Ramoses and the Martinezes and the Steeles and the Smiths and whatever your last name is, to do supernatural things, miracles, signs, and wonders. People, ordinary people like you and me, being spread out and persecuted all over the lands, began to do supernatural things that they could not do by themselves. How does that happen? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gives them the ability to do things they could not do. In that same chapter, the Holy Spirit leads Philip to this random road. And on this random road, there is an African going home to Ethiopia. And he speaks to that man and preaches the gospel, and he takes that gospel back to his continent, and thousands and millions of people are affected by the gospel of Jesus Christ, because the Spirit led Philip to a random road. I'm hoping that you can start to open up your thinking, open up your heart. What could the Spirit of God lead me to do on Monday? What could the Spirit of God lead me to do that I could not do by myself? The Spirit of God is still available. It's still being poured out. He is still available to each and every one of us. You don't have to be in the room. You can be online and feel the presence of the Lord. And then in chapter 10 and 11, there is a major, major shift in the gospel going out. When Peter is praying, he sees a vision from God. It's a blanket being lowered with meat that he's never eaten before. It's unclean meat. God says, eat it. Peter says, I can't eat it. God says, if I tell you to eat it, you should eat it. You can eat it if I tell you to eat it. And it was an analogy that God was bringing salvation not just to Peter's people, the Jews, but he was bringing salvation to everyone, the Gentiles. The Gentiles and the Jews were heavily divided. Obviously, the Jews were a much smaller group of people. The Gentiles are basically the rest of the world. And the rest of the world had enslaved the Jews. Think about them being in Egypt, being enslaved by them. Think about them being enslaved in Asia. When they went up there with when Daniel and the other brothers in the fiery furnace in Babylonia, they were enslaved up there. And then now the Romans have come and they've taken over all of the land, and so now they're controlled by the Europeans. So they have the Africans and the Europeans and the Asians. Everybody has controlled the Jews, but that's God's people, and so they have this direct line with God. We're your people. We're holy, we're righteous, we have this relationship with you. All these other people are terrible. They've enslaved us, they've killed our people, they've done all these horrible things. And now you want to save them? Think about how difficult that must have been for the Jews to think about these other people. They're going to be saved too? How could they be saved? How could this happen? How could the Jews allow Gentiles into the family? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit led them to understand that the Gentiles were going to be welcomed in. The Holy Spirit confirmed to them. Read it in Acts 10 and 11. That when Peter went to Cornelius' house, he was the Gentile, and he began to preach the gospel to Cornelius, and he received that gospel, and then Peter laid his hands on them, and the Gentiles began to speak in these unknown languages as well, and the Jews that were with Peter go, oh my goodness, they're doing what we did. If they're doing what we did, then they must have the same spirit that we have. Then we must be brothers. It was the Holy Spirit that was the only way that they could have unity between races. That's what that was. Two different races coming together. We need the Holy Spirit in this world. We need the Holy Spirit in this world. If we're trying to fix all these things with human reasoning, with human methods, we're going to keep chasing something that can never be caught. We can make little progress here and there, but I'm telling you, there is a God-ordained way to do something that seems impossible, and it's with the power of the Holy Ghost. It's the power of God's Spirit that's going to do something impossible. And this is what my prayer is, that there would be a group of people in San Marcos that were filled with the Holy Spirit of God and began to display the characteristics of God everywhere we go, whether it's in a boardroom or it's on at the homeless shelter, or it's at City Hall, or it's at the county courthouse, or it's at HEB, or it's at church. I'm believing that there will be, come on, the Bible says, wherever two or three are gathered in my name, I am in the midst of them. How could he be in the midst of us when he's not here? The Holy Spirit is God with us today. It also says in that chapter 11 that the Holy Spirit began to bring an atmosphere of passion to their worship. And it shifted the atmosphere of their worship. The Holy Spirit of God. When you are here in the building or maybe even at home and you're praising God and worshiping God and singing and clapping and raising your hands and whatever you're doing to worship God, and you begin to feel the sweetness and the holiness of God and the love of God, that's not just some emotional thing. That is the presence of the Lord knocking on the door of your heart saying, I want to come in and I want to help you. And I'm going to tell you something. Dads, we're facing something that dads have not faced in a long, long time. It feels impossible to raise kids in a godly way in a completely ungodly generation. It's happened for millennia, and people have had to try to figure this out. And the only way, I'm telling you, that you're going to be able to shift from the thinking that we have of the impossibility of being a dad or the impossibility of living in 2020 is to say, Lord Jesus, I surrender my heart to you. Heavenly Father, you know everything in my life. You examine my heart, and you know that I'm a sinner, and I can only come to you in the mighty, mighty, precious, beautiful name of Jesus Christ, who died for me on the cross. I come to you, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, and I am asking you today to fill me with your Holy Spirit. Take this vessel that has some college education and some experience and a little bit of money in the bank and some friends and some skill and some talent and just a measure of all of that stuff. Take what I have and fill it with you. Fill it with your spirit. It takes ordinary people and makes them extraordinary. You might think, as I was going through all those chapters in Acts, that those people, you know, had their PhD or their doctorate of divinity. No. You might think that they have been doing it for years. No. You might think that they had a lot of money. No. The people that are the heroes in the book of Acts are more unprepared than you, had less resources than you do, have less knowledge of everything. We can look up in 30 seconds on Google stuff that they would have never known. So there's so much more knowledge we have now. Yet they did stuff that was so impossible because of the Spirit of God. There's one verse I want to read to you, Acts 4:13. It's really the crux of this message today. It says, this is right after Peter and John had spoke to the religious leaders of the day, which were, just for those of you that are new, the religious leaders were not the good guys in the story. They were very, very rough. But it says, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, they were astonished because they were uneducated, common men. Dads, we often feel common, uneducated, unable to accomplish the tasks of being a good dad. I want to let you know that's okay. It's okay to be weak, because he is going to show up in that weakness. The good news is that with the Holy Spirit of God, you're going to make it. The Holy Spirit of God is going to transform you from being an ordinary person to being something extraordinary for the kingdom of God. The pressure that's happening in 2020 right now is suffocating. I mean, literally, as soon as you figure out, you think you got it figured out, something else happens. And it's just, we just can't do it by ourselves. This morning, as I woke up, I went upstairs to a private room where I knew nobody could hear me. And I began to cry out to God. And I just began to sing, Holy Spirit, you are welcome in this place. Holy Spirit, you are welcome in this place. Not the room, but you're welcome in 2020. You're welcome in Hayes County. You're welcome in this region. You're welcome at Promised Land. Holy Spirit, you're welcome. But more than the region, Lord, you're welcome right here. You're welcome in this place. You're welcome in this. Lord, I need your presence in this place. Holy Spirit, you're welcome. Flood my thoughts, because the thoughts that are coming from all these other places are crippling. I need the liberation of the Spirit of God. So we need the Holy Spirit in our ear speaking to us. I want to challenge you to think about, who am I listening to? Who am I listening to first? Is it the Holy Spirit? We need the Holy Spirit in our path. That's, where am I going to go today? Lord, show me the places to go. We need the Holy Spirit in our mind, with every thought that comes, and knowing exactly the words to say. There's a place in the Bible where they were worried about going to the religious leaders and knowing what to say. And Jesus said, don't worry about that. Whenever you get to that spot, the Holy Spirit will tell you what to say. So I want to welcome you into that idea. Find you a prayer closet. You say, I don't have a prayer closet. Well, just go to your closet and turn it into a prayer closet, right? Why do I need to go to the prayer closet? Well, you need to go somewhere where no one can hear you, where you don't worry about what anybody thinks of you. When I get in there, I sing so awful. It's off key. It's terrible. It's my own lyrics. They don't rhyme. Oh, but it's a joyful noise to the Lord. And I get lost in prayer. And I get lost in the presence of God. And I go to another dimension that is outside of the logical thinking, and it's into the spiritual side of prayer. And there is no drug, there is no alcohol, there is no product that you can purchase or ingest or participate in that is as pure and as fulfilling as the presence of the Lord. It's nothing to be scared of. It's just something to welcome. And God's a perfect gentleman. He will love on you, and he will help you in the way that you need. Just today, Gary brought to me a little cloth, and we anointed it with oil, and we prayed for it in the name of Jesus. And he's going to take that cloth to the hospital. They're going to take it to a friend of Gary's that has coronavirus. They're going to lay that cloth on that patient, and we're going to believe in the name of Jesus that patient is going to be healed. Not because of me, not because of Gary, but because the Holy Spirit is doing something with our obedience. The Holy Spirit is flowing in the obedience of people. Would you bow your heads? Let's pray, and then we're going to worship together. We're going to sing a song before we leave here today. Lord, in the name of Jesus, all I'm going to say is, Lord, we welcome you. We submit our heart to you right now. Would you in your own way just say, Lord, I give you my life today. I surrender my heart. Please forgive me of my sin. I want to be with you forever, God. I want to surrender my heart to you from this day forward. God, fill us, fill me, Lord, with the sweet presence of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Would you stand to your feet? Let's continue to worship right now with Pastor Tim.